You may be seated. Today is Mission Sunday here at Claremore Assembly. I don't know if you knew that or not. We didn't advertise it a big deal, but today is Mission Sunday. Now, the problem with that is that if you're not from this church or if you didn't grow up in church like me, you're going, Mission Sunday, what does that mean? I grew up with Mission Impossible, but that's about it. I didn't know what all this mission stuff was. Matter of fact, the first missionary I ever heard was a guy named Bill Lovick. And man, he told these stories and he just preached forever and forever, it seemed like. Only, well, problem was I was looking at the clock, but it seemed like only 20 minutes. He told all these incredible stories and I'll never forget it because I didn't know what a missionary was. I didn't know what missions was. I didn't know that you sent people to other places. And the biggest problem is I didn't even know there was a mission for me. So today we want to do all of that if we can. But you know what? We've got stuff right in our own backyard that we need to be paying attention to. I want to ask Randall Darden if he'll go ahead and make his way to the platform. I want him to tell you a little bit about what's going on over at Roger State University. It is literally, well, I used to, before I broke my arm, be able to throw a rock on Roger State University. Now I just have to drop kick it or whatever. But this young man is with Chi Alpha. He is over there. We sponsor him every month. And I asked him to come and just spend a few moments telling us about the exciting things that are going on just right across the street. It's all up to you, Randall. Oh, I thought I turned that on.
It looked like it was on.
It is. It's those guys in the booth. They'll get there.
Hello. Hi. There we go. I hear myself now. Do you guys hear me? Good deal. Well, I'm across the street working with college students every day and here and there and not always on campus, but we meet in all kinds of locations and places and at my house and restaurants and in all kinds of places because we believe that the mission is being a light in the world and not in necessarily just in a church building, but everywhere we go. And so we have the opportunity of being a part of God's calling on my life and Lacey's life, and we get to teach the students to hear the voice of God and be obedient to that. And this calling is, and your callings, being obedient is our calling. And it's one of the most amazing, most humbling, most inspiring things that we can ever do. No matter how great or how small it feels like inside of our hearts, it's a great thing to be obedient to the call of God. I have found nothing more fulfilling than being obedient to God's call, especially whenever you walk in that obedience and you are so blessed to be able to see the return from that obedience. Like whenever a student walks up and says, hey, I heard what you said last week and I gave my life to the Lord, and that's awesome. But what's even more awesome is when you see that student begin to grow and develop in their walk with Christ, and they come to you day after day and they say, you know what? I told my friend about Jesus, and they're being interested. They're reading their Bible, and then you hear more and more stories and you see this ripple effect of your own obedience. And this is how a God oftentimes speaks in our hearts and in our lives through the lives of others. It's that affirmation that says, hey, you're doing what I told you to do, and this is the reward that you're seeing in this world. A lot of times we don't see that reward, but then that reward is we will receive the reward in heaven. But being obedient is the blessing to it all. And like I said when I started, it is one of the most humbling and most rewarding things we ever do. A lot of times whenever we are walking in that obedience and we see something as large as 4,300 students on campus and God says, hey, go talk to 4,300 students, and you go, 4,300, what? And then you try to remember their names and the task becomes nearly impossible. But when the Spirit of God begins to empower you and you begin to feel that encouragement of the Holy Spirit in your life, it becomes this amazing, humbling, and powerful experience in our lives. And we begin to realize that we couldn't do it without the help of God. And walking in that humility, walking in that desperation of the moving of God's Spirit in our lives is empowering. The scripture says that in our weakness, He is strong. And so when we recognize our own weaknesses and we walk in the obedience and in our own weaknesses, God empowers us to do the impossible. And this is so inspiring, especially whenever I look at it from my own perspective and stepping onto a campus that has so much going on in every different area that God says, go, and I go. And in that obedience, God steps in and does the impossible. And one of the most impossible things that, and the reason I say a salvation is because I can't save anybody. Y'all can't save anybody. But God's Spirit works on people's hearts, and we get to play a part in that. And it is really the most amazing things that we can ever do.
Amen. Thank you, Randall. Give Randall a big hand. We are thrilled to have Randall and Lacey across the street. And by the way, you'll want to be looking into the book of Acts. That's where we're going this morning. It's exciting. It's challenging. We host a dinner for all of the athletic teams over there, the soccer men and women's. We just did the basketball men and women's. We'll do it baseball and softball here soon. And I'm thrilled that Randall and Lacey are over there, because whenever I go to the campus, they go, oh, great, it's bring grandpa to class day. So we got these wonderful people that are ministering, you know, and they relate. On Tuesday nights, they have Chi Alpha. There's always kinds of stuff. During this semester, when it ends and it's time to study, they have these big pancake feeds over here at night, and all these students come over, invade our Family Life Center, and just suck down all the carbs they can. It's exciting. All of us have a mission. All of us have a place to be and a place to go. And with God's help, we're going to learn a little bit more about that today. In the 16th chapter of Acts, we catch up with a guy named Paul and Silas. And it's very interesting because Paul is on his second missionary journey, as they call it. There were three loops he did around, you know, that area around Jerusalem and up into Greece and then what we call Italy today and all of those things. And he's ministering. And the funny thing about it is just seven chapters previous, he's got these letters of permission to go and take Christians and throw them in jail. And he was standing there the day that Stephen, the first martyr for Jesus Christ, was murdered. And they said, oh, okay. And they took their clothes and their coats and they laid them at Paul's feet. Because I think that he was kind of the ringleader on that whole thing. And he killed one of them to start his ministry, and now he is spreading churches. It's amazing. And that's why this is called the Book of Acts, because it's literally the Acts of the Apostles. But you also see that it's just one big missions story. That's all there is to it. Join me in the 16th chapter, verse 8 through 10. Passing by Mysia, Paul and Silas came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and a man from Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Paul is in Troas, which is this modern-day Turkey, if you're going to look at the map. That's where he's at in this previous time. And we understand that there were two other times in the earlier part of this passage, or I should say this chapter, where Paul said, you know what, I want to go to Asia and preach the gospel. And the Holy Spirit said, no, you're not going to Asia. And he said, I want to go to Bithynia and preach the gospel. And it says the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ would not allow him. And then in the night, he has this vision. He has this vision of this man, and this man is calling from him. He's from Macedonia, and Macedonia is a region. It's not a town. It's a region. It's a country, if you will, a state. Within it are the towns. And in this place, there he is. He's directed by the Lord to go there. Now, Jerry Shirley is a pastor who quoted Psalms 37:23. He said, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He said, but so are the stops. Every now and then we have this thing where we want to do something, we want to do go in this direction, and God says, no, that's not where you're going to go. And he also adds this, which I thought was quite interesting. He said, you know what? Man's disappointments often become God's appointments. So sometimes, you know, when we think we ought to go and witness to someone, or we ought to do this, or we ought to do that, or start this ministry, and it doesn't get off the ground, or we find this just big roadblock, God always opens up another opportunity. We say it kind of like this most of the time. We go, well, whenever God shuts a door, he opens a Window, yeah. I don't know why we pick on windows. I just figured I'd want to go through another door. I don't want to really crawl through a window, but that's what we say. And here, in this circumstance, here is Paul, and he has this vision. Now, here's where we have to be a little practical, okay? We love the word vision, but the vision word, it's like ultra-spiritual, isn't it? People have vision. You have to be the Pope to have a vision. You got to be an Assembly of God missionary to have a vision. You have to be the general superintendent of the Assemblies of God to have a vision. You know, I don't know why, but we've always put it on this upper tier that there's these people, and only these people, because they're so spiritual, have a vision. We know different, but yet at the same time, we don't apply our lives differently. We're expecting someone else to always have this vision. It's not reserved for other people. It's reserved for everybody. And the success of our mission, whether it's us collectively or us individually, is going to be based on this one word, this word vision. Now, I'm not trying to water down the word vision, because it is an extremely important word. And it is ultra-spiritual in many, many aspects. But let me give you the Greek definition of that word. It literally means inspired appearance. There is something that is inspired within us that we see. I think I had a vision when I was in college. I didn't go into a trance. I'm pretty sure I didn't levitate. But I just saw something that God directed in me, and I refer back to it several times in my own personal ministry. But let me go also a little deeper, because it says inspired appearance. But this is based on another Greek word, which means this: to discern clearly, to experience, or to perceive. A lot of people never get involved in missions because it's just something that God has called somebody else to do. A lot of people never get involved in really sharing their story about Jesus, or the word we are trying to, you know, eliminate and not use today is evangelize or witness their mission, because they just feel like this, I'm not that kind of person. I'm not real outgoing. This is extrovert. I'm a little reserved. We have all these reasons why this not apply to us. But it simply says to discern clearly, to experience or to perceive. We know what a witness is. You just tell your story. That's all it is. It's the witness. You know what, Randall and Lacey, all they're doing is just telling their story. And we're telling the story of these men. But today is Mission Sunday. And I said back in my State of the Church address that missions will always be on the top of the list of the priority of this church. If this church falls and go under, I pray that the last check we write will be a check to missions, because it's important. God blesses a church that blesses missions. Is it involved in missions? And it always has to be a high priority, but not because we say so as a church, but because we say so as an individual. If it's not important to you, then it's not important. And today, somehow, we have to go far beyond that and understand. It's not just an emphasis or an appreciation for missions. It's just we have to see the vision. Because, see, I can appreciate missions and do nothing. I can emphasize from the pulpit right here as of missions and do nothing. But you know what a vision does? A vision demands involvement. There's something I have to do. I don't know how many bloated-bellied, black-skinned kids I could put on this screen for you to finally decide something's got to be done. Is that what you're looking for? Are you waiting for somebody to put enough visualization on it? I mean, literally, physical visualization? Do you want me to show enough tragedy films, enough clips and testimonies that we finally see it? Obviously not. God doesn't want to have to stimulate your senses. He just wants to speak to your spirit. That's all he wants to do. And us, as a missions church, that's what he wants us to do, to accept that responsibility. Not waiting for somebody else in authority or superiority, if you will, to do it, but that we do it. And I don't know why, but that comes off as so much pressure, isn't it? You're supposed to see this certain thing, and you're supposed to do this certain stuff. And I don't know why, but we get into comparisons. All we need to do is just do one thing: line up with what the Holy Spirit tells us to do. And that's what the vision does. God's never called us to do something that we can't do. God's never called us to do something that he won't enable us to do. God's never called us to do something that he would not create the resources for it to be done. And we create all of these problems and these things on us, and I don't know why we do that. Paul, just sitting there minding his own business, God said, no, you're not going here. No, you're not going here. But in the middle of the night, he has this vision, and he said, Macedonia it is. And he takes off for Macedonia. The cool thing is that he didn't wait very long. He just got after it. And he takes off to Macedonia. Paul, the Holy Spirit has said no twice, but then he said yes to Macedonia. Let me ask you something, and this is a very vague question, but what do you see? Have you ever asked yourself that? Do I see anything? Am I looking for anything? What do you see? Because you know, you don't have to go to Africa to see it. All you gotta do is just walk out these doors. There's enough mission stuff, enough missions material right here in Claremore, America, for us to be aware there's a mission field. And there's something that has to be done. But maybe it's not our eyes. Maybe it's our ears. Because see, Paul was wanting to go to Asia. He was wanting to go to Bithynia. The Holy Spirit said no first time. Jesus said no the second time. But when the Macedonian call came, come over and help us, he heard the Holy Spirit say go. And he took off. See, sometimes we're waiting to see something. We just need to be listening. And when we listen, God's usually always speaking. The problem is sometimes we're so busy speaking that he doesn't have a chance to talk. And we just need to be quiet and listen, just like it is right now in this church service. You see, it gets real uncomfortable when it's quiet. If I quit talking, if that lasts over about 10 seconds, everybody looks up from their slumber and goes, did he go to sleep? Did something happen? Did the sound go off? Are we done? I mean, there's a lot of things that happen when it gets quiet from the pulpit and nothing's going on out there either. In the middle of a song, if we stop the song and boom, just quit tuning everything up, you just wonder what happened. You ever been driving down the road, you're listening to your favorite program, whatever it is, and the radio goes dead. You just go, what's happening? And you obviously just figure it's a power failure. We understand that. But you see, God has some plans for us, and we need to be listening to what the Holy Spirit wants us to do and what the Holy Spirit says to do instead of us filling in that blank. You have to see the vision. But the other thing is this, you have to do this. You have to answer the call. Paul saw this guy say, come over and help us. But here's the cool thing about that scripture. He says, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia. You know what they say about leadership? If you think you're leading and nobody's following, you're just out for a really long walk. That's what they say about leadership. And you know what? And if you really think that you see the vision but you don't answer the call, then you're just pretending to care. You really don't care. I can talk all I want, but if I don't back this up with my actions and with my words, and yes, with my resources, then you know what? I just really am just acting like I care, but I really don't. The cool thing is that when Paul responded, they traveled, they went to Macedonia. They'd been there a couple of days, and their first convert wasn't a man. It was a woman. The Bible says that they were in Philippi, where we get the book Philippians, because he established a church there, wrote a letter back to the Philippians later. The Bible says they went down to the river, and they saw these ladies out there, and that they were just down by the river. He begins to talk to them. Lydia was the first convert in Macedonia. You see, we get this vision, and too often we're just thinking it has to fit just this way and just this way. And God says, listen, I just want you to go. I'll tell you what's going on when I get there. And you get there, and he finds this woman, and she's converted. Now, later on in Scripture, just after this, if you read chapter 16, next convert is a slave girl. The next convert is the jailer. Remember, Paul and Silas were in jail. Now, here's what I thought was interesting. I found this in a commentary on Paul's missionary journey. It says, the Apostle Paul, prior to his salvation, was a Pharisee. Everybody say, ooh, we hate Pharisees. I don't know why, but you know, in the Bible, they're just evil people, okay? It says, and every day when a Pharisee woke up, he would pray three things. Now, I'm going to tell you why we don't like him. He would pray, God, thank you that I'm not a woman. Just lost half the congregation. Thank you that I'm not a slave, and thank you that I'm not a Gentile. And I think it's interesting. He answered the call, went to Macedonia, and instead of a man, he finds a woman. And the first three converts that he brings into this church is, number one, a woman, number two, a slave girl, number three, a Gentile. God knows what he's doing, isn't he? This is cool the way God works those things out. Now, I'll tell you why that's so important, if you ask me, is that a vision. If you see the vision and you answer the call, it breaks down a lot of things. It breaks down bigotry. It breaks down prejudices. It breaks down those preconceived ideas of what missions is all about in the first place. Because missions to most of you in a church is a pastor getting in front of you on a designated Sunday and saying, listen, we need your help financially, and today I am not going to disappoint you. However, I will tell you, it is much, 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 much more. We don't have an obligation to keep our missionaries on the field. We have an obligation to listen to the Holy Spirit. That's why we're here today. If you miss that, you're missing a whole lot. Because the Holy Spirit is the one that wants to speak to us. We had the Wounded Warriors Project as a part of our Veterans Day a couple of years ago. Their motto says this: the greatest casualty is being forgotten. Our greatest regret, our worst failure, would be to turn a blinded eye to the vision and a deaf ear to the call. That's what would be a tragedy today. If we worked all of this up and talked about what Paul did and everything else, but yet that was all that it is. Missions too often just becomes a sidebar. It's just an add-on to what we do in ministry. And it can never be that. If it does, then you know what? We've lost it. So what do you see and what do you hear? Well, each Sunday morning, we could hear the whistle in the distance and then the wheels of the train coming over the tracks. We became disturbed when we heard the cries coming from the train as it passed by. We saw the train often, but Sundays were the worst. We realized that it was carrying Jews. They were huddled in the cars like cattle. Week after week after week, the whistle would blow. And we dreaded to hear the sound of those wheels because we knew that we would soon hear the cries of the Jews en route to a death camp. Their screams tormented us. We knew the time the train was coming. And when we heard the whistle blow, we began singing hymns. And by the time the train came past our church, we were singing at the top of our voices. If we heard the screams, we sang louder so that we would hear them no more. Years have passed. No one talks about it much anymore, but I still hear that train whistle in my sleep. I can still hear them crying out for help. God forgive all of us who saw the train, heard the whistle, called ourselves Christians, and did nothing to intervene. That came out of a book that was written by someone in this little church in this German town when every Sunday, along with every other day, the train came by, hauling people to their death, and they did nothing. I'm sure they felt powerless. Don't you? I could see that. I really understand that. I'm sure they felt that it was nothing that they could do about it. I'm sure they felt that it wasn't their responsibility. I'm sure they felt, surely, if I were to intervene, it would cost me my own freedoms. But yet it didn't cease the dreams and the thoughts and the memory of the screams. I don't know what call God's calling you to do today, but I sure hope you listen to this Holy Spirit a lot more than you do anything that I say. I've searched this Bible all over. And you know what? Nowhere in here does it call the sinner to go to church. Nowhere in here does this Bible command that the sinner go to church. But we, however, are commanded to go to the sinner. It's called the Great Commission, and it's found in Matthew, the 28th chapter. But we also, as a church, have been called to missions. I'm going to ask, guys, give us all the lights you got. And I'm going to ask the men to come forward with these faith pledge cards. Actually, faith promise cards, I'm sorry. This is where, if you're not careful, you're going to be thinking we're going to shift to a commercial instead of a sermon. But as I'm asking you to consider this, I'm also asking you to consider what God is talking to you in your own heart. I'm going to ask that every one of you that will, that you'll take one of these cards. This is what we do every year. And we please just raise your hand if you'll take one and just pray over this and just ask the Lord, what will you have me to do today? This is how we start deciding how we can broaden our missions budget, how we can do. This is the financial part of what I was telling you about today. I unembarrassingly, and I have no problem asking you to participate and help be a part of this. That you would just sit there and you'll just for a few moments pray about this. Let me tell you how this works by personal experience. I know what I gave last year you know what, I can do that again. But I made the mistake of this sermon and praying, Lord, what do you want me to do this year? Well, this isn't a bragging point because it's not about the numbers. I'm not going to tell you what the number is. It's none of your business. But God said, God forbid you ask your people to pray and ask the Holy Spirit, what would you have them do without you praying and not responding? He said, you be the example. So obviously, when you call it pressure, responsibility, example, I don't care. I just know one thing. I increased my pledge. And this year, I hope it'll be a banner year for missions. But here's the tragedy. God forbid we write 1 million, 5 million, 10 million, I don't care what the number is, to support our missionaries all over the world and to support people like Randall and Lacey over at Rogers State University and all kinds of other missionaries that we could drag them in here by the dozens and show them to you, but yet we don't accept the personal call and catch a personal vision for what's right out those doors. While you're praying about this, I'm going to ask you to ask God to give you a vision for that. They don't have to have a cardboard sign. You meet them in Walmart, and some of them look like they don't need a single thing. Financially, they don't. Listen, I just came from a funeral. And I'm not emotional because I lost my brother. I'm emotional because at my brother's funeral, there was no opportunity to champion how he sat in church every Sunday. No one got up and told about how that he loved the Lord. Great eulogy by my nephew. My dad was a hard worker. He was funny. He loved the guys he worked with, on and on and on. He outdid the preacher. Not a hint that I'll see my brother in heaven. I don't want that to be our story for this community. I want us to have the most wonderful, blessed conscience in the world because we are asking the question, God, if it's not here and if it's not there, then where? And when he says, I will give you a vision if you'll look for it. But you must answer the call. A lot of times it's not our eyes. It's our ears. We need to listen to what he's saying. This is how we're going to end today. I want to ask that you would just pray real quick. I don't want you to think about your checkbook. I don't want you to think about what you did last year. I don't want you to think about whether you've even done anything before. And trust me, if you're a visitor today, listen, we're talking about our people. You want to put something in the offering plate, that's fine. I promise you, I'll take it. But today, this is about spending 30 seconds saying, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? And if you need to take a couple of days and pray about it, that's fine too. But listen, don't neglect the vision. And just tell the Lord, I'll answer the call. Father, in the next 30 seconds, I just pray that you'll lay upon our heart what you would have us to do. Lord, I've had the opportunity to prepare beforehand today. This sermon's been on my heart for 2 weeks. I knew what you told me to do. It's already been written out. So, Father, it's clear to me. But to these, today, Father, this may be the first opportunity you've had to see this. So I pray, oh God, that you'll give them a vision. I pray, Father, that we'll listen to what the Holy Spirit says. I pray, God, that we will create a preferred future for this community because we have decided to participate in a vision, not a missions drive, not a missions offering, but in the vision for this community, but even more. And Father, I pray that you will just help me because it'll take your strength to answer the call. God, I just pray your blessings on all that we do today. We're going to spend just a few moments looking into your eyes, listening with our ears to what you have to say to our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, in just a minute, the guys are going to come forward. They're going to pass the offering bags again. Will you please just slip this in there? Obviously, the bottom part is what we need. The top part is for you. And then we're going to be dismissed. Pastor John's going to do the, you know, that sounds more like a, you're doing good up there, John. Men, come forward. We're going to take this up. And if you want to go ahead and do something financial, if you want to write a check or put something in there, God bless you. We'll be dismissed in just a moment. But while these are being collected, I just want to share something with you real quickly. Churches exist for a reason. Because God's preferred future for you is to have fellowship. And for you to have the ability and the responsibility and the privilege of having fellowship with other people. I can't speak for every church. I can only speak for this church. Our desire is for you to be ministered to. And today, if you found yourself in here and you're in the midst of all of these presentations, you saw our junior Bible quizzers. Today, you know, it was just so awesome. You've had this wonderful opportunity to participate, even though you know you were going to do it, to bless this child and this family and just praying for his future. You've heard a mission story. Well, you know what? God doesn't do all of this aside from what he wants to do in your heart. If you've got a need today, then God wants to meet it. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. I'm just going to tell you that if it's okay with you, I'm just going to pray a final prayer of just asking the Lord to bless you, to take care of you. And God answers prayers. It's really cool. You know what? I want to ask him to stand, but Larry Rock is with us. Larry was a member of this church for years and years and years. It is just literally, basically a miracle that he's with us. Because of the surgery, was able to have that. He was on our prayer list and still is. He's in church. How cool is that? God takes care of us and he watches over his people. It is just wonderful. And he has a future for all of us that is so bright, it's just pitiful. But today, if you have a need, then with your permission, as a dismissal, I just want to pray for that need. Father, I ask for everyone in this place to just feel your presence right now. Lord, there's just a moment where we're able to just kind of literally feel ourselves alone. Not alone by being separated from everyone, but right now we feel like we have a private audience with you. Oh, I may be surrounded by a lot of people. There's people on my right and left in my pew. I can hear the preacher talking, but right now I pray, God, that what they'll really feel more than anything else is that Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and rose from the dead, is here today to remind them that he knows everything about them. He knows every cell in their body. He knows every bone in their body, every system, every organ. He knows where they're at, where they've been, and especially where you want them to go. And I pray today, Father, if there's something that is disconnected, if sin, or if there's just, we've never known you, and today we want to know you, we want to ask you into our life, I pray that right now they would just look straight into heaven and say, Father, I know because of Jesus Christ's death on the cross, that the debt has been paid. The day all I need to do is ask him to be my Lord and Savior, and he will come into my life and make me brand new. Father, some people today, Lord, they just need help. Their bodies are just weary and worn. Circumstances have just been anything but good. Lord, I pray for people like Dorothy Clay. Tomorrow, we will lay to rest her husband. Father, on and on, whether it's a physical circumstance or whether it's a financial difficulty, whether there's tension in their family, whether there's a relationship that has been broken, Lord, whether there's a healing that needs to take place, a great wound has happened in our heart or our life or our body or our family, I pray today, God, that you would be the God of this universe that knows all things. Come and minister to them right now. And Father, with your permission, I pray that you will dismiss us with an incredible vision and a great desire to answer the call. So God, may we hear your voice consistently talking to us. It made perfect sense to Paul to go to Asia and Bithynia, but you called into Macedonia. May we respond likewise. In Jesus' name, amen.